There are several reasons that this cold Thursday isn't as bad as you think. One, it's nearly Friday. And two, it is time for the next bit of 24 years at the Tap End, the highlight of many people's day. Last time, we talked about Chris's crazes, fads and general gimmicks, including his Tamagotchis. Where are we at today?
Today, I thought if it's all right with you two, we're going to go to the 11th year. I won't say what it's about yet, but it's about something close to my heart.
Okay, Roger?
Ready.
Buck, are you ready?
Roddo.
I still don't get the voice, but I'm ready.
Roddo.
My 11th year at the Tap End. I've had an eventful life. There has been highs and lows, and I've seen many people come and go. But there has been two main unconditional consistencies in my life. The love of my family and the love of football. I've loved football for many years now. I admit, I haven't been a Watford fan all my life. I started off as a Man United fan, then a West Ham fan, until I finally settled down with the club of my dreams, the Hornets. I didn't inherit a football team from my family, but they seemed very happy for me when I finally settled down with Watford, aged around 12. My parents aren't really the most sporty, but have always encouraged me in my football. Age 7, my mum suggested that I joined my local team, which was based down the road in the Croft Park in Pinner. I was to be with this team for nearly all my youth. My team was called Pinstars. There were two teams in Pinner, and they trained on the two different sides of the park. It was similar to the musical West Side Story. You were either Pinstars, which was my team, or Pinner United. All the guys at my school would play for one of those two teams, but both teams had a lot of respect for each other.
You are really into your musicals these days, aren't you?
In what sense?
Well, there's that other one you were talking about.
Oh, Les Mis. Yeah,
you love
that one, yeah.
Was it really like West Side Story, though?
Never seen West Side Story, but right. I sort of roughly know the plot, I think. So I imagine the situation we had at Pinner was like West Side Story.
Do you fancy some West Side Story music while you do this, then?
Have you got any?
Yeah, hang on.
Don't think I've ever heard it.
But if you read on and I'll sort it out.
All right.
Is this it?
It's quite sort of rousing, isn't it?
Mm.
I used to love playing for Pinstars. We would train on a Saturday and then our matches would be on a Sunday. We were in a Sunday league, so we would play teams generally from northwest London. And I'll be perfectly honest here, we usually lost. Our team had character, but we lacked the quality that some other teams had. Our two centre-backs were twins that more than once got sent off for fighting each other. Before I was made captain, our captain Charlie would often burst into tears if we started losing. And our star striker had a fear of heading the ball.
They sound ideal.
It wasn't ideal, but I always liked being the underdog. Most of my life, I've played left-back, sometimes moving forward to left midfield. My hero has always been Stuart Pearce, and to this day, whenever I get a new shirt, I always get the number 3 printed on the back. My old football manager used to nickname me Psycho after Stuart Pearce.
That's all I know about him, is that he had a reputation for being angry.
Why were you called the same?
Because they just thought my style was very like Stuart Pearce.
Did you get angry on the pitch?
Yeah, my game's all about sort of hard tackles and not much skill. Which was quite similar to Stuart Pearce, really. It was...
What's a hard tackle?
Do you want to know, or was that a joke?
I have no idea.
It's where you just go in quite hard. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I do, yeah.
I'd love to see you play football, I really would.
It has happened.
Have you actually played?
Yeah, at school.
Did you not get a note?
Mostly my mum did do notes.
Yeah. Must have had so many periods.
I did.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was always... the swimming was always off.
Oh, Scott's got his period again.
It was. My mum was very good with the notes. Fair play to her.
I think you should play football. I'll play as well.
Would
and
you?
See who's better out of... Shut up, I was on the football team until I kicked the ball into a bush and then got stung by loads of bees.
All right, so here's what I'm thinking. We could make a team. I'll play for you. You know, I'm an all right footballer.
I'm all right.
Yeah, Millsy can play. And then what we could do to test our team out, we'll just play against a load of 12-year-olds. Because I think that's the standard I'm probably dealing with here, right?
So the last time I played, I was 10.
I used to love Sunday games. Freezing cold Sunday mornings, playing on a pitch in Pinner, which was built on a hill. Every week we'd get changed in a Baltic cold changing room, do our warm-up routine and go out every week thinking we could win. The warm-up routine was the same every week.
I was going to ask, what did that involve?
What would happen is our first manager started this and then it just carried on every game.
Is the manager also a young person?
No, he's not a young person.
He's an adult, isn't he?
Yeah, he was,
oh, right.
He was a dad.
I was wanting, like, you know, like in Bugsy Malone, like a child manager. I just love that. Come in, just starting throwing boots around.
It's not like Bugsy Malone.
Spitting on kids.
Gotta do better.
You'd have to have that voice as well, like, yeah, a really crap American accent.
Yeah. No, it wasn't, but what we do is we'd start sort of jogging.
Can you still do it now? Do a show explaining it.
Okay.
So I want to see the crab one.
The crab one?
Yeah, all footballers do the crab one.
What's that?
So they do that weird kind of jumps to the side.
Show me.
You must have seen this.
And what are you doing?
It's a strange kind of river dance.
I've never
the
seen that.
The one that doesn't speak knows it.
Yeah.
Joking me.
It's really famous. It's like...
That's the hopscotch.
No, and then they go like...
My God, listeners, I wish you could see how stupid she looks. I'm not so sure
no,
about
they
this
do,
football
they
match.
Do. The one that doesn't speak's doing it as well.
Our one was more normal. So what you do is you start jogging.
That's made me out of breath. This doesn't bode well for the team,
it
does
doesn't.
It?
We're going down.
I promise I'll do more crabs later.
We weren't the strongest team, and our reputation wasn't helped when we were delivered a new kit with an exciting new sponsor. We were now sponsored by the Middlesex Machines, which for a 10-year-old wasn't ideal. We were told to ignore the laughs, but I heard one of the dads singing James Brown as we proudly ran on. As a 10-year-old, this annoyed me.
Oh, I've only just got it.
It was a building company, I believe, called the Middlesex Machines.
But I didn't hear it the first time.
Dun, 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 dun. Get up, that one.
That one.
Oh. Like a Middlesex machine.
We're a bunch of 10-year-olds. This is what the other kids
That's
were saying.
That's not appropriate.
Which, although I can laugh off now, really annoyed me at
10.
The time, you know?
Yeah,
things
you
like that really get to you.
That wasn't cool in the playground.
So now do you still get a photo when you hear, get up?
Yeah, whenever I think of that, I think of freezing cold Sunday mornings running out of the changing room.
Was that your walk-on music? That's a bit cruel.
I think we lost that sponsor after a year. We decided that sponsors weren't really the one. The hard thing about loving football is the pain you feel when times are hard. They say you get hurt the hardest by those that you love the most, and this has often been the case, especially with England. In 1998, when England got knocked out to Argentina, I'm not afraid to admit I cried that night. I was so upset that I wrote a poem... which I only discovered the other day, in the only diary I ever kept when I was in year six. I remember Des Lynam reading Kipling, If, as part of a montage, the night England got knocked out. I went upstairs and wrote this.
Oh, that's... is this the poem?
No, sorry, no, this isn't the poem. No, this is...
I thought that was the poem.
No, God,
this is
the first
setup.
Line's got Des Lynam in it. This is going to be immense.
No, this is the setup.
Oh.
And how the hell is he going to rhyme Des Lynam?
I know, you started reading it in your poetry voice.
What does rhyme with Des Lynam?
Nothing.
Sorry for the confusion.
Okay.
Okay, can we have the poem, please?
It's called The Winning Goal. According to my diary... This isn't the poem again. According to my diary, it was written on the 17th of July, 98.
Okay. Ready.
A winning goal is everyone's aim. It doesn't matter how you score it, whether it is from the halfway line or a tap-in in the box. It's a goal, and that's all that matters. Whether it's at the beginning or at the end of the game, just as long as you score. If life was like a football match, think what would be your winning goal. So keep on scoring until the end of your life, and when you do, remember as well as yourself you have helped your team. Some get rewarded, some don't. Some people try, but don't always succeed. It doesn't matter, though, how much you get rewarded. All that matters is that you have scored your winning goal. Do you not think that's deep?
It's really deep. Almost too deep for me to actually understand.
Yeah, I've forgotten most of it, to be honest. I'm going to have another look. I love the way you've printed it. You've done the poem in italics.
It's what you did at school.
Keep on scoring until the end of your life, and when you do, remember as well as yourself you have helped your team.
It's philosophical. Mm.
And this was written on that emotional evening.
Yeah, the night England, I, you know, cried, went upstairs, wrote a poem, and have never shared it. I've never told anyone about this. I found it in the diary, so I've dug it out.
Yeah.
What's a tarpin in the box?
Spelling error.
A tarpin?
No, tapin.
Oh.
Oh.
Do you write a poem every time Watford lose?
No, I don't know.
Because that's a fair amount of poems, isn't it?
Scott Mills.
BBC. Yeah. Ray. Yeah. One. Thanks, Chris.